Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey connecting the light, and it's really me this time talking live, unlike the last two programs which are pre-recorded. And most of my listeners, I'm sure, will know that I've been on a 10-day visit to Sedona to speak at two conferences. And for those who don't know, it's a fantastic place. It's got a very spiritual energy. And I had the most wonderful time. We had something like 500 people visit the two conferences, and they built up such a fantastic energy. I think I'm still walking on air at the moment. It was absolutely unbelievable. Now, my guest today is Karen Noe, and she is a spiritual teacher, healer, and renowned psychic medium. And she's also the author of a new Hay House book, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. And as a medium, she tells me, she often receives messages of regrets from the deceased. And in her new book, she explains that we don't have to wait to die to go through our life review. And Karen believes we can make amends now and live peacefully in all our relationships. And she offers a technique that she calls creating heaven right here on earth that transferred her life and the lives of her clients as well. She's also the author, incidentally, of The Rainbow Follows the Storm. And she says that that tells you how to obtain inner peace with angels and deceased loved ones. So you've got a very good taste of what Karen is all about. So welcome to the program.
Hello there. How are you today?
I feel great. The vibrations that I lived in for 10 days, I think, are still attached to me. And it's a wonderful feeling to carry it around. And I think everybody that's raised their vibrations, and I'm sure you're the same, Karen, over the years, you do feel the difference between the higher ones and what is often I call like dead energy around you.
Yes, absolutely. And I have been to Sedona every year. I just love it. I stayed at the Enchantment Resort. Is that where you were?
No, there were quite a few of us, and we had to book the Hotel Poco Abrigidos.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a very good hotel, incidentally, yes. Very nice. It had a lovely big conference hall that we could get 250 people into. Then we moved to another hotel, which had a smaller venue. But even so, we were able to get about another 150 in. So,
wow.
But it was really beautiful. And I was talking to Don before we came on air and saying that the temperature was in the 70s, which was nice and comfortable for this time of the year. So everything was fantastic. Anyway, you've come along to talk about you and what you do. Now, I think the thing that certainly fascinates me, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners, is how you began receiving messages from angels and deceased loved ones. So tell us all about that.
Okay, sure. When I was younger, I was psychic. I was able to see things before they happened. My father used to take me to the racetrack, and I would pick the winning horses for him and things like that.
Oh, dear.
I know. But then it all changed. About 15 years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life, and I just sat at the edge of my bed, and I yelled at God and the angels, and I just said, you know, just let me know if I'm going to be okay. I just need to know that. And within 2 minutes, I saw a light coming towards me from the other side of the room, and my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. Now, I had just asked for a sign, but I wasn't prepared for this quick response, you know. But the more I said, if you're not of God, the more it came towards me and actually came inside of me. And an overwhelming sense of peace came over me. All my problems were gone in an instant. At that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucha Lucina, Bella Lucha Lucina. And for the listeners who are Italian, it means light, little light, beautiful little light. I have since learned it was St. Francis of Assisi who speaks about peace and love and trying to make the world a better place. So he's now one of my guides. And since that time, I have been able to connect with angels and deceased loved ones. And at first, I did it reluctantly. I didn't want people to think I was not in my right mind. So, you know, I went about it very slowly and started off in the back of a hair salon, and I practiced alternative healing. And if I did that and messages came through, it was good. But since then, the word spread, you know, gradually. And now, a few years later, I'm booked for 2 years ahead of time, and I have over 5,000 clients.
Gracious. So they keep coming back to you, do they? Do your clients keep coming back to you after they have one reading?
They do keep coming back because it's all about the healing. It's not just connecting to their angels and deceased loved ones. It's trying to heal them, heal the person, the living loved ones as well. So, yes, they do like to come back.
The angels that come to you, are they your angels or are they the ones of the person who is deceased or the person making the inquiries?
Well, there's a number of, they all come through. For the most part, those, the deceased loved ones are not angels. A lot of times my clients come to me and just, they're willing to talk to just their deceased loved ones. They just want to talk to their grandmother, their father, mother, whoever it is. Now, I can never guarantee someone to come through. If they're there, they're there. If they're not, I can't make them come through. The angels are a different story. The angels, we all have guardian angels. And we all can call upon the archangels as well. The archangels are bigger and they're more worldly. They, you know, they help us with peace and love, taking away negative energy. So they all do come through during readings.
Right. So do you have one particular sort of, what you might call sort of favorite angel? I mean, do you know their names?
Well, my favorite archangels are four of them. I love Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. And they all serve their own purpose. Archangel Michael takes away negativity. And anyone could call upon these angels, by the way. It's not just me. They can be in more than one place at one time. And all you need to do is ask. Archangel Uriel is the peace angel. If you need peace in your life, you would call upon Archangel Uriel. Archangel Raphael is the healing angel. If you need healing, mind, body, spirit, that's the angel to contact. And then who did I leave out? Archangel Michael, Gabriel. Gabriel helps us to, thank you. He helps us to speak with communication and helps, he actually helped me to write my two books because at first I wasn't a writer. And, you know, I just sat there and I asked Gabriel to help me and he did.
Wonderful, yeah. I mean, do they actually appear to you or?
It's more of a feeling. I do see sometimes the lights of them, you know, but it's more of a sense of them. In other words, there's four ways to connecting with angels and deceased loved ones. Some people are clairvoyant and they just see what they look like. Other people are clairsentient. That's more what I am. I feel them and I can sense what they're saying without them having to use their audible voices. In reality, they don't have an audible voice anyway. You know, they're spirit. So they come through telepathically, and that's how I receive their messages.
So Archangel Michael, then, is possibly one of the principal ones. He actually came through one of our speakers at the conference, along with other people. But as far as I can see, he comes through so many different people. He must be one of the most busy angels, I would think.
Absolutely. What did he have to say?
Oh, I can't quite remember now. The lady that was doing that took also spoke to Mary Magdalene, or rather Mary Magdalene spoke through her and two others. So I can't quite recall with everything that was going on. But my favourite source for Archangel Michael is one which has been running for many, many years, is Rona Herman. But I think his messages are always superb.
Yes, I have never heard of him. What's his name? I would love to. I'm writing it down.
Well, it's a lady called Rona, R-O-N-N-A.
Okay.
H-E-R-M-A-N, Rona Herman. You got that?
Yes, now I do. Thank you.
I don't know why, but I suppose when messages come through different channels, they are coloured in some way by the personality, perhaps, of the person receiving them. But Rona, for me, has always been one of the top channels of Michael. And I'm very pleased. I'm a Michael as well.
Yes.
Well, it's a nice energy, isn't it? You know, that's important. Oh, anyway, why do you think so many of the deceased people who you make contact with seem to regret things that maybe they haven't done on Earth rather than what they have done? What do you see as sort of the problem there that comes out afterwards?
Well, what happens is after we leave our bodies, we go through a life review. We're not judged by, you know, we're not judged by someone else, or God is not judging us and saying you're going to a bad place. What happens is we actually judge ourselves, and we're able to see how we have affected each person as if we are looking through their eyes. So say we didn't spend enough time with our grandmother, or you said something, you lied to someone. You could actually feel how that has affected the other person.
Yeah.
So what comes through with this newfound knowledge, you know, they come through and they say, okay, it's not that they're hurting, or they're not, you know, they're trying to, they just see it through a bigger perspective. So as they come through, they say, I should have spent more time with you. You know, I should have done this or should have done that, something like that. It's not that they're throughout eternity that they're going to be suffering from this. It's not that way at all. But I hear this often enough, you know, I should have said this, I should have done that. And I also hear that from the living loved ones as well. You know, I should have done that. And I said, why do we have to wait? After hearing this message time and time again, we don't have to wait till we die to see the bigger picture, you know, to see the bigger perspective. We could try to do that right here and right now and create peace in our lives and in the lives around us.
Yeah, I should imagine as a human being down here, when you have to do the review and you see how other people see you and felt about things you did, that sounds you know, pretty tough going. Or is it indeed the case?
As we're living, trying to do that, is that what you mean?
Well, I'm trying to say is if you had to do that down here, you'd probably find that quite almost a frightening experience. But would I be right to think that when you do it from the other side, you are sort of helped to feel more easy about it?
Yes. Well, the whole point is to be easy on ourselves as well, and trying to make amends right here and now, and trying to see how you are affecting each person from this point on, not so much what happened in the past. And each person you encounter, try to see through their point of view, where they're coming from. A lot of times I hear people, they're complaining about the person at the cash register, that they were yelling or doing this and that. And if we could see through their point of view, maybe they're doing that because they had a bad day, you know, and try to see that and try to understand them better. And in this way, you could actually make your life better as well, because the other person will feel heard and they'll respond to you as well, you know, better as well.
Yeah. So what do you think one of the main regrets are? Is it through, say, for example, not seeing someone often enough who is a friend and neglected them?
Yes. For the most part, I hear that the most. I should have spent more time with the other person. I should have visited them more often. And in reality, you did the best you could under the circumstances. That's what it comes down to. You know, but if we're easier on ourselves, we could just, as we are living right here and now, we could try to be a little better about it and try to visit your loved ones more often. Try to tell them. Another regret that is very important that I hear time and time again is that they didn't tell their loved ones how much they love and appreciate them. And then they left this earth without telling them. I mean, we assume that our loved ones know.
Yeah.
And sometimes they really don't. They don't know what we appreciate about them. They don't know what we're grateful for. You know, so I tell people to write letters. There are different types of letters that I talk about in the book. One would be a gratitude letter, and telling your loved one, you know, exactly what you love about them and what you appreciate about them. You know, how do they make a difference in your life? And things like that. How do they make your life better? Then there's a letter of forgiveness. When you want someone to forgive you or you want to forgive the other person. You know, too often we feel like we should have asked their forgiveness and then it's too late, or we should have forgiven someone else. And I always bring up the saying, it's not the snake bite that kills us, it's the venom that's left behind. So if we could resolve those issues right here and now and not wait, that would be the best case scenario. And then the other two types of letters are a letter to yourself, writing how you could, writing a letter to yourself saying how you could make your own life better. You know, don't put yourself last. A lot of us light workers put everyone else before us. And in reality, we're just as important as they are. We should put ourselves right up on that totem pole too. And the final letter is a letter to our deceased loved ones. And it's not too late. They do hear and feel if we write letters to them, telling them how much we appreciate them, letters of regret if we want them to forgive us, etc.
That's interesting. Now, you've spoken about doing a life review. Does that include matters that you might not have attended to that were in your life plan?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Well, my understanding is that everybody that comes into incarnation has a life plan to which their guides, etc., will try and get them to stick to. And I'm wondering if some people, when they go over and do the life review, realize perhaps that they've missed out on things they should have done.
Yes.
Does that sort of come into it as far as you're concerned?
Yes, sometimes that does happen. And we see we were swayed in a different direction and we weren't paying attention to our gut feelings on what we should have done. And the best way to know we're not on track is to go within ourselves. And if it doesn't seem right, if we're going in a different direction, we know that we're not doing what we were supposed to be doing. And and we should listen to our inner guidance, and then we won't have those regrets after we pass.
Well, that's nice to know. I'm sure we're pushed along a bit by our guides, and they do their best to make sure we at least get the opportunity to do what we intended. But it must be a rather horrible feeling when you finish your life and you realise you've missed out. Now, in your new book, Through the Eyes of Another, you show people that they can make amends with those in their life now so we don't die having regrets. So would you like to talk about that particular subject?
Sure, absolutely. A very good way of dealing with this, trying to see through the eyes of another, is what we're going to do after we pass. And if we want to do it right here and now, a good way of doing this is through letters. Because if you sit down and take the time to write these letters, you could use the right words, you know, you could do it on different days, it doesn't have to be all on the same day, and you could say it exactly the way you would like to tell them. So as stated before, there's a gratitude letter that you could tell your loved ones how much you love and appreciate them, and not regret that you didn't say that after you passed. You could write letters of forgiveness, letters to yourself, and letters to your deceased loved ones, so that you don't have these regrets of not telling them how much, you know, they mean to you. When I was doing the book, I had an experimental group, and we met monthly, and we wrote these types of letters to our loved ones. And we talked about, then we mailed the letters. Some of them didn't want to mail their letters, but subconsciously, their loved ones felt it anyway. And we talked about the responses that they received. And one woman had been going to therapy for many years. I talk about it in the book. Her name is Kathy. And she went to therapy, and then she wrote the letters to her loved ones. And after the letters, she received such a great response from her children and her husband. Her therapist told her that the letters had done in 1 month what years of therapy couldn't even come close to. So it was such a great healing experience for her. And I heard that time and time again with the experimental group. So I highly recommend people to do this, to try to see through other people's point of view and try to tell them how much they love them right now before it's too late.
Yes, I think that's a very nice way to approach it. Through the Eyes of Another sounds a very excellent title. Do you cover any other subjects in the book that you would like to mention while we are talking about that one?
Sure. At the end of the book, I included some stories from my readings so that people understand, you know, most of the common questions people ask me. And I'd like to share some of these readings with you. They're really some of my favorites. There was one woman, her name is Teresa. She was trying to get in to see me to have an appointment, but I'm booked 2 years ahead of time, and at the present time, I'm not taking any more appointments. So I just tell people just try to come to my classes. I have a metaphysical center in New Jersey, and to come to my classes, I teach people how to connect with their angels and deceased loved ones, which, by the way, they can do it too. It's not just me, and that's the best part. We all can do this. And as I was teaching the class, someone's father was coming through, and he said his name was Tom, and he just had passed, and he was going on, and the woman, Teresa, raised her hand. She said that was her. She said her father had just crossed, and she said, can I ask him something? And I said, well, I could try to ask him. I don't know whether or not he'll answer, but she said, can you ask him if he could tell me where the missing money is? So here I am. I said, oh my gosh, you know, let's see what, I don't know, you know, let me try. And immediately he showed me the attic, and he showed me some insulation in the top right corner of the attic, and he started moving the insulation away. So I told her I would assume that he's trying to show me in the attic, on the top right-hand part of the attic, to pull the insulation that the money will be there.
Right.
So she had gone home that day, and as I was cleaning up after the class, the phone was ringing. I picked up the phone, and it was Teresa. She was so excited. She told me that the money was indeed where her father had told her it was. Wow. So it told her two things. Number one, that her father surely was with her and did survive his physical death. And two, she was given the money that was rightfully hers. So I share a few of other stories in the back of the book there. And I don't know if you'd like to hear another one. Some of them are really...
Oh, by all means. Yes, they're interesting.
Okay. There was another one. A wonderful woman. Her name is Christy. She came to see me when I started to give messages to those who came into my office. And her and her husband sat there. And at first, I felt four babies with her, and I was not sure what that meant, but because they were all the same age. So I explained to her, I saw four babies, and they're the same age. And she said, yes, she lost quadruplets. With that, her grandparents came through with their names, and they were showing me they were connecting. They were holding the babies, saying they were taking care of the babies. And I can't remember their names offhand, but Christy said those were the names of her grandparents, and she was so thrilled that they were being taken care of. But this is not the best part of the story. She had tried to conceive again after that with to no avail for a couple of years. And a couple of years later, I was sitting in my office meditating, and all of a sudden I felt Christy's grandmother coming through. And she said, Christy's pregnant. So I said, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Christy's pregnant. Oh, that's wonderful. So I called Christy on the phone and I congratulated her. I said, oh, that's wonderful that you're pregnant. And she says, I am. I don't know. Am I? I said, well, your grandma just came through. Right. And she said, I'll get back to you on that. I will let you know. And with that, I went to lunch and a car cut me off. And the license plate on the car was two quads, Q-U-A-D-S.
Oh, right.
So, yes. So I took that to mean that two of her quads would be coming back, you know, reincarnated and coming back to her. To make a long story short, Christy indeed was in the family way and has since given birth to twins. And they are healthy and loving, and she's so thrilled. So that was a very nice reading as well.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful story.
Yes.
She must have been so pleased about that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if people want to write letters to deceased loved ones, I mean, they obviously would be hoping to get some sort of feedback. Can you tell them whether it's possible for them to talk to their deceased ones without using a channel such as yourself?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. First of all, let me start with something that I have done, and I know everyone could do this as well. My friend Marion has crossed over, and I wrote a letter to her telling her how much, this was after she passed, how much I loved and appreciated her and all the great things that she did for me in my life. And I said at the end of the letter, please let me know, please give me what I call a without a doubt sign to let me know that you have heard or, you know, read what I have written to you. 2 days later, after I wrote her the letter, I was walking down my steps to put letters in my mailbox. And as I'm walking down the steps, this really happened. A bird came flying towards me and started screaming, squawking, whatever you want to call it, and just wah, like screaming. And my immediate response was, oh my gosh, Marion, it's you. It's you. Thank you so much for giving me a sign. And I started crying. I knew without a doubt this was Marion, because the bird just stayed there, flapping its wings, looking at me directly in my eye, and just followed me to the mailbox, screaming. So I was so excited. I had a cell phone in my pocket. I called my son, who was in the house, and I said, Tim, quick, come outside. Marion's here. And he said, what? I said, Tim, please come outside. Marion's here. And he came outside and witnessed this for himself. He saw the bird screaming at me, looking at me, and I knew without a doubt it was Marion. 2 days later, a mutual friend of ours calls me up and says, what the heck is Marion doing? And I said, what did she do to you? And she said, she had the sliding glass door open in her kitchen and a bird came flying in to the kitchen. Excuse my French when I say this, but he pooped all over the wind, all over the walls, and then flew right out. And she knew it was Marion as well. The reason why we knew this is Marion is because what happens is after we pass, we retain the same personality as we had when we were here. So she was very sarcastic and a very warped sense of humor. And she continues to do this even after she passed away. So what our listeners can do if they write letters to their deceased loved ones is to ask them for without a doubt signs. And some of those types of signs would be they come as a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, you know, something that would stand out. You know, they would peck at the window, they would land on them, or something like the bird did with me, screamed at me. You know, they may find feathers or coins. They may sense their perfume or cigar smoke. A car might cut them off to notice the license plate. So there are a number of ways our loved ones will give us signs to let us know they are around us and they have read what we have written to them. But we need to ask them to give us a big without a doubt sign.
Now, I haven't heard much of this type of contact through animals or birds or whatever, but I guess as long as the sign that they're giving you is something you can understand and relate to, it doesn't matter, does it?
That's correct. Now, when I say they come as a bird, a ladybug, or a butterfly, it's not that they are always a bird, a ladybug, or a butterfly, but they are able to use their energy to come inside of an animal for a brief time just to let us know that they are around us. You know, if they're not getting our attention any other way, they'll find some other way to do it. And that's why the bird, the ladybug, or the butterfly, something like that.
Do you think that occasionally when we mislay something or actually lose it, and it seems to suddenly appear somewhere that we're sure we checked before and it wasn't there, do you think that's some of their handiwork?
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Did that ever happen to you? Because that's happened to me.
Well, I think so, yes.
I love when that happens because there's no explanation for that, you know? There's no other explanation.
where you find yourself having to check whether you did really leave it where you found it. When you're convinced it wasn't there before, you're trying to explain it to yourself. I lost some of my keys once, and I'm sure I looked on this sort of tabletop thing in my garage, and yet a bit later when I walked by, they were there, and I thought, well, I couldn't possibly have missed them before. So it's a very handy thing.
Yes, yes. They love to do that. They love to play games with us. They love to play with electricity, you know, turn it on and off, like the lights and things like that. So, yes, they do give us signs to let us know they're around us.
Now, what about more serious things in our lives that I've experienced where you might have been doing something, say, that was dangerous or even threatened your life? Do they intervene and help you, or is that usually the job of the angelic people?
It could go both ways. The angelic realm is a little bit stronger and we'll be able to feel them more than our deceased loved ones, because our deceased loved ones come, when they come through, they feel just like a person. So we may discount it when they're coming through, but they love to prevent us, you know, from being in harm's way. So they'll, you know, if we should change lanes or something, we'll get that feeling. Now, the key is to listen to these gut feelings. Most people do not realize that their loved ones come as thoughts that just pop in their head. You know, they just pop in their head, do this, do that. They're expecting to hear an audible voice or to see an apparition of their deceased loved ones, where in reality, it just comes telepathically as a thought. So the most important thing is to listen to those thoughts so that we can prevent these tragedies from happening.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, you've spoken a little bit earlier, I think, about forgiving people and our deceased ones. But sometimes the hurt for people that are on the earth is still so very much powerful after somebody has passed on. It must be really hard to forgive. Now, how do you suggest they do that? How do they satisfy themselves that they can lose that negative energy and create a nice, loving link with the person who they cut off?
Well, that's a very good question, because not only, first of all, we'll be helping ourselves, we'll be helping the other person as well. But as stated before, it's not the snake bite that kills us, it's the venom that's left behind. So when we understand that, we do it for ourselves, maybe, you know, if we need to forgive someone. We need to try to see through the other person's eyes why they did what they did. There was one woman in the experimental group as we were going through this experience. Her name was Donna. And her mother was physically and emotionally abusive to her. And she just couldn't get by. She couldn't get past it. We went through it. We tried to see through her mother's point of view why she did what she did. Now, it doesn't mean it was right what her mother did. As a matter of fact, it was very wrong. But when Donna was able to see that her mother didn't know any better, that her parents, her mother's parents, were physically and mentally abusive, and that's all she knew. And she was the youngest of 8 children, and this is all she knew. Donna was able to see through her mother's eyes a little bit more clearly and understand why she did what she did. And she was able to finally let it go. So if we're able to try to see through the other person's point of view why, it could help us tremendously. Sometimes we try to see through the other person's eyes and we still can't understand. But at least we're trying. You know, sometimes you just cannot understand.
Right. Do you think by holding on to the, if you like, hatred or whatever it is that prevents them from forgiving someone, do you think that actually harms a person from the point of view of their health?
Absolutely. We're mind, body, spirit. As a matter of fact, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So when spiritually we're not on par and we're hating, we have negative emotions, that certainly does affect our health. Absolutely. I have seen it time and time again. I do healing in my practice as well as giving messages. And when we work on the emotional issues and when we take care of the hate, the unforgiveness, the physical ailments go away.
Right. So what sort of damage does it do to your body to hold those negative energies? I mean, could you actually end up with some sort of serious illness?
Oh, absolutely. It could actually cause cancer and all sorts of things like that. And when we work on emotions and we try to deal with this in my practice, when they come to see me, there's a technique called the emotional freedom technique, tapping. I don't know if you've heard of it or the people who are listening, but it's what you do is as you're experiencing the negative emotion, perhaps, you know, thinking about what the other person did to you, we tap on different acupuncture points as we're experiencing the emotion to enable the energy to move so it's not stuck there. And when we make the energy move, we actually feel better and the angst is gone and we're able to let that go for the most part.
Now, just to get on to something quite different, I believe you're also into healing. What would you like to say about that?
Well, the healing is the mind, body, and spirit. So they're all connected. So if you heal one, it should heal the others. But the most important is the spirit and the mind. And then that affects the body as well. So when someone comes to see me, I do Reiki energy healing on them. We do the tapping. We go through different techniques, you know, Qigong or whatever means it takes to get rid of the negative energy and to strengthen the energy that they do have. And then we get the messages from the angels and it's all connected. So when you heal the spirit, it also heals the body as well.
Right. Now, you talk of your healing as alternative healing. Does that mean to say that you practice healing which doesn't include the use of drugs or other type of medicines, that it's all natural?
Exactly. It's all energy related, spiritually related, sometimes diet. So that type of thing. I have had people who come to me as a last resort many times. They've been to the medical doctors, and I always tell them to continue to go to the medical doctors. I would not tell them not to. But they come to me. I've had a woman, her name is Regina. She had stage 4 lung cancer, and the doctors didn't give her any hope. She came to see me as a last resort. We talked about how your thoughts create your reality and how you want to think about what you want instead of what you don't want. And we talked about that a lot. And I could not go inside of her head to change her thoughts. I told her that. She had to do it herself. To make a long story short, she is completely healed. She had stage 4 lung cancer. She's completely healed by simply by going within, changing her thoughts, working on the energy around her, going through acupuncture and all sorts of things. And the doctors are just blown away. So, and Regina is not the only one that can do this. We all can do this.
Right, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, after we've possibly written letters to our loved ones, what other things could we do to keep the peace in our relationships?
Okay, well, the most important thing is to become aware of everyone you encounter and to become aware of their feelings. So if you see, try to sense their energy, try to become more attuned to their energy and be more compassionate, you know, really listen to them, tell them how much you feel, you know, offer your time, extend your kindness, all sorts of things. Return calls. Sometimes people don't return people's calls and they get upset. When you think it's a very minor thing, it really isn't. It's very important to the other person. So just be more aware of how you are affecting the other person and continue to do so.
Right. Now, having said all that, and we've spoken about life plans, what do you think the purpose of life is?
The most important That's a great question, by the way. The most important thing that we need to do in life is to extend our love and create peace in the world. And that's basically it. So no matter what we do in life, if we could extend our love and create peace, we've done our job.
Right. Yes, so I like that idea because I think at the end of the day, spirit tell us that all there is really is love.
Exactly.
And it's the most powerful force in the universe. And some people talk of it as being the God energy.
Absolutely. It is. It's who we are. We all have God within us who is love, basically. Universal life energy, love. And if we could remember who we are, then we would always be loving and peaceful. And the whole world would be a better place.
Indeed. Now, something that's very topical at the moment and is certainly very much in my mind and a lot of other people's is the possibility of ascension at the end of this year. Have you got any thoughts about that?
Yes. What I think this year, what is happening is that many people's vibrations are changing and become increasing, actually. And that's just all I think is happening, is that we're more aware of the angelic realm and making the world a better planet. And everything's leading towards that. It's not that the world will end, but the world will become a different place to live, where we could all live in peace and harmony. And there are different things happening in the world that many people are frightened of. In my own area, I live in New Jersey, and we had a massive hurricane. And there was a lot of devastation.
Right.
A lot of people had no power. Their houses were washed away. And I know people where this happened, who this happened to. And they're saying, is this the end of the world? I don't believe this is so. I think there was this type of thing going on for many, many years. It's just we want to focus on what we want instead of what we don't want. We are ascending to higher levels of consciousness. That's what's happening on the earth right now.
Yes. I like the idea that you just expressed there to focus on what we want rather than what we don't want, because I think humans have a habit of looking for things that are wrong rather than things that are right.
Exactly. And even in the midst of all of this that was going on, the tremendous devastation, and there was, it was so important to focus on the positive. And people would say, what is the positive? Well, the fact that we're still here, the fact that, you know, your loved ones are okay, or whatever. If you don't have power, be thankful that you will get power back, or things such as that. Every day may not be good, but there will be good in every day.
Right.
That's what I tell people.
Yes, fine. That's lovely. Now, you obviously are teaching something that you've practiced yourself when you talk about writing letters. Now, how has writing the letters that you talk about helped you personally?
Oh, my gosh. It changed my life. literally, it did. I had been going through a divorce at the time I was writing this letter, and I had this group that we met with monthly. So I have three children, and they're older. The youngest at the time was 18, trying to think back in years, yes. But still, I never wanted to hurt them, but they were hurt nonetheless whenever there's divorce. So what I did is I wrote to each of them and my ex-husband as well, and I tried to see through their eyes how I had affected them.
Right.
So it was very loving. My children, it was all about how much I loved and appreciated them and how I never meant to hurt them, but I hurt them nonetheless. And I never put down their father. I just said we were both very different. And they can understand that my ex-husband was and still is a lawyer. And here I am, an airy-fairy medium. So you can see we're very different from one another. Nobody was right or wrong. We were just different from one another. So what happened was my children, and I wrote the same thing to my husband, no blame. I tried to see through his point of view how I affected him. And my relationship is so much better with all of them. And the best part was my daughter, 2 months later, after I had written the letter to her, she took the concept a step further and did something with me. What she did was she asked me to take me out for my birthday, and she wanted to take my other children out as well. We went out, and we came home, and she told me she had a surprise for me. So I was very excited. We went home, and she showed me a DVD that she had made. And on the cover of the DVD was a picture of myself and the three of them. So I said, wow, this is going to be good. I didn't know what it was. But what she did, she plopped the DVD inside the DVD player. And the first person who came on was my mother. And my mom talked about how much she loved and appreciated me and all the beautiful things that I had done for her. And she spoke about, you know, the letter of gratitude that I had been talking about and that I had written to all of them. They did this on the DVD. And then each of my children, you know, told me how much they loved me and the things they loved about me. Since then, my mother has made her transition to the other side. And I have watched this DVD time and time again just to listen to my mother's beautiful words. You know, so it really impacted me as well. So she took the concept that I had done for her, and she took it a step further and put it together in a DVD with all those in my life, and they all talked about how much they loved and appreciated me. This is the best part I wanted to mention, is that I had written a letter to my mom before she passed, 2 years before she passed, telling her how much I loved and appreciated her, because I am very thankful. I had a wonderful relationship with my mom. There really were no regrets, you know. So let's fast forward. A year ago, my mother was very ill. She was in hospice, and she had her bed in her living room. And I went to visit her, and I sat there. I went into her bedroom, and I saw the letter that I had written to her a few years earlier, telling her how much I loved and appreciated her. So I took the letter and I sat down on a chair next to her. And my mother was comatose. She supposedly could not hear or feel what I was saying. But I took the letter, I started to read to her, "Dear Mom," and I said everything that I had written to her in the letter. I read to her. And she put her hands to her face, and she started to cry. She heard everything that I was reading to her. Those were my words to her. So I was so thankful that I had written these words to her. I had them right here, you know, right in front of me to tell her how much I loved her right before she died.
That is a lovely story. I like that very much. Now, time is jogging on here. Perhaps you would like to tell our listeners how they can find out more about your new book and perhaps about your healing center.
Sure. You could go to my website at www.karennoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com. They can also go to www.hayhouse.com. And you could find more information about the book and all the things that I do. I also have a healing center in Ramsey, New Jersey, where I teach classes and do healing and readings. At this time, however, I stopped taking appointments because I'm booked 2 years ahead of time. So I just have to stop for a while so I could catch up. And I'm also writing my next book, so I just need a little bit of time to do what I need to do as well.
Right, and are you still running your radio show?
Yes, I am. I have a radio show. It's called The Angel Quest Show, and it is on the first Saturday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and we talk about, you know, all spiritual things, reincarnation, the ascension. We talk about soulmates and all sorts of, you know, wonderful things. And you could find that information as well on my website at KarenNoe.com, and just click on to the Angel Quest show.
Right. Is that a call-in show? Can people talk to you?
Yes, they could call in. Absolutely. And my next show is going to be, it's usually the first Saturday of every month, but this month it will be November 17th because they had to shut down the radio station because of the hurricane. And they can call in, but they need to go to the website for the radio show, which is www.wrcr.com. That's wrcr.com. That's the radio station.
Right. I didn't think to ask you, but when you have contact with these angelic beings, do you ever take messages for sort of general distribution that you send out, or do you only use their contact for your sort of clients?
Yes, I do. I use general information and spread it to the world, the most important of which is exactly what we were talking about today, to try to see through the eyes of another right here and now, not wait till we die and go through our life review, to try to do that right here and now and spread the peace and love to everyone you meet. I think that's the most important message there is.
Yes, that's wonderful again, I must say. I think we've possibly covered the writing of letters, but is there any sort of guidelines you might want to give people who are now intending to do something like that?
To not only write the letters, it's, you know, after you write the letters, to continue to see through each person's eyes and, you know, love and honor all those in your path. You know, see them as spiritual beings, as you are.
That's lovely.
I think we, yes.
I believe myself that when you write a letter, the energy goes with the letter. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. And even if you do not mail the letter, they do, whoever you're writing to, can feel it on a subconscious level. So you don't have to mail it. Some people will be, they're afraid, they don't want to open up old wounds, you know, but it's good for you and for the subconscious of the other person as well. And they will be treating you differently. If you do write a letter to someone else of forgiveness and don't mail it, you'll see the miracles that happen as well.
With my sense of humor, I could see a problem there when you write to someone and you say you forgive them. And then they write back and say, I've got nothing to be forgiven for.
Well, that's something else. And it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, they might disagree with you and say, it's you that was the cause of it, not me, or something like that. I don't know.
Yes.
It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy, but it's certainly worth it. It changes lives. It changes your own life and all those in your path. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Well, we're rapidly coming to the end of our normal time here. So I would thank you very much for coming onto the program. It's very interesting here about your work. It's sort of somewhat different for most of the people I get. You're a specialist in your own field, which is nice, and I'm not surprised you're booked up so far ahead.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Right, we've got your web address. Do you accept emails, I wonder?
Yes, I do. My email address is Karen Noe, that's K-A-R-E-N-N-O-E, 1111, at gmail.com. So that's Karen Noe, 1111, at gmail.com.
Right, that's great. I'm sure some people would like to contact you. So that's covered that one. In fact, I think we've covered the whole lot there. Thank you very much, Karen. And thank you yet once again for coming on the program. It's been very, very interesting.
Thank you very much. Many blessings to you.
Thank you. Right, friends. I always think my guests are wonderful, but Karen was very good there. Next week, I've got Nick Redfern, who's quite a well-known author, and he's written a book called The World's Weirdest Places, and it's 25 stories about the most strange sights around the world. And he sent me a copy of his book, which I'm going to read so that I can ask him some sensible questions. But that sounds also a very interesting guest. So hope you can be with me next week. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you.